We're going to be talking today about the heart of worship. And folks, we need to ask ourselves, what is the heart of worship? Now, we call this our worship service, but do we even know what it means to really, truly worship God? I hear people, I've heard them all my life, make this statement, well, I really didn't get much out of that worship service. That tells me right there we don't even have a clue what worship is. Let me give you a news alert. It's not about you. And it's not about me. We're not supposed to get anything out of worship. God is the one that's supposed to be getting something out of worship. Can you imagine going to a celebration for somebody, whether it was a birthday or an anniversary or a graduation or whatever it was, and you leave that celebration, and you say, well, I really didn't get much out of that. It wasn't about you. It was about the person being celebrated. It was about the person being honored. That's what our worship service is about. It is about Jesus. It is about God. It is about us bringing something to God to lay on the altar before Him. We really need to get an understanding of what worship is and what the heart of worship is. I want you to ask yourself a question as we get ready to get into this message this morning. Don't answer this out loud, but I want you to ask yourself, what have I brought to God lately? What worship have I brought and laid on His altar before Him? And an act of worship. See, we come to church expecting to get something. And yes, God will bless us, but folks, He has a horrible time blessing us when we're trying to get. We have to give to receive from God. We have to give. I promise you, if you come through those doors with a giving, worshipful spirit, and you pour your heart out before God, you're going to leave here saying what? I really got something out of that service today because you gave. But if you come looking to get, you're going to walk out and say, well, I really didn't get much out of that. The song that we're going to be singing in just a moment is called The Heart of Worship. You know, a lot of times we think, well, a message is inspired, but songs and other things can't be inspired. Folks, songs are very much inspired by the Holy Spirit, and this is one that truly, truly is. I've already said we come expecting to get something instead of coming to bring Him something. That within itself deserves repentance right there. Father, I've been coming for the wrong reason. I've been coming with the wrong attitude. I've been coming with the wrong intentions. It is so important. It is of utmost importance that we understand worship and that we understand what it is to worship. And that we truly do worship. Folks, it is of utmost importance. Did you notice what that pastor said? He said he got so desperate for his people to know how to worship, even after he had taught on it and even after he had preached on it. He was so desperate for them to find out what worship was that he took away the band. He took away the praise team. He took out the sound system. He completely did away with worship. And I've done a lot of research on the story behind this song. They literally sat there in silence 30 to 40 hours at a time, not hours, 30 to 40 minutes at a time. Sorry about that. From the look on some of your faces, you're like, 30 or 40 hours, wow. But they sat there for 30 to 40 minutes at a time for several Sundays in complete silence. He was determined that his people were going to learn what it really meant to worship. And then he said all of a sudden, somebody would stand up and read a scripture that was burning on their heart. Or somebody else might stand up and give a testimony. Or somebody else might just stand up and give the Lord praise and give the Lord glory for what they had done. Or somebody else might stand up and start a song a cappella because it was burning in their heart. And the people learn that worship is so much more than just a song. Worship is so much more than just a song. Folks, we need to ask ourselves, are we really worshiping? I mean, are we really worshiping? Yes, we're coming to church. Yes, we're going through the motions. Yes, we're doing all of the things that look like worship. But are we really worshiping? The Bible tells us over in Luke chapter 19 that God will be worshiped even if the rocks have to do it. I'm not going to let any rock take my place. I am not going to let any inanimate object take my place when it comes to worship. I am going to worship God. Now don't... I've already said there's a lot of different forms of worship, so I don't want you thinking you've got to stand up and you've got to wave your hand and you've got to do all these different things. But you've got to have worship in your heart. And if it's in your heart, it will be manifested in some way or another. If you've got worship in your heart, you cannot just sit there. You have to express that worship. And the Bible again says, if we don't worship, the rocks will worship. The Bible also teaches us that we must worship God in spirit and in truth. We must worship God with every fiber of our being, with our entire heart, with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And folks, we're not doing that. Satan uses a tool, not just here at Centerpoint, but he uses it in most churches. And he is very effective with this one tool. Satan gets us to being more concerned about what somebody else is going to think about what we're doing, instead of the praise and the glory and the honor that what we're doing is going to bring our Father. He gets us so concerned about what our neighbor's going to think that we don't bring our worship to the Father. We quench the Spirit, and the Bible talks a great deal about quenching the Spirit. We don't come to this altar a lot of times because we're afraid about, well, what is brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so going to think? Well, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so probably needs to be here just as bad as you do. Quit worrying about them and start focusing on God. During the praise songs, if you feel like worshiping, when I say feel like, if you've got it just burning in your heart and you can't hold it in any longer, worship God. Worship God. Folks, I promise you that if God was standing right here in the front of this altar this morning, every single one of us would break out into some form of worship. You wouldn't sit there and go, oh, look, He's here. You wouldn't do that. He's here. This is His house. He dwells among His people, and He inhabits the praise of His people. He is as much here now as if He were standing here physically. We need to realize that, and we need to make sure that we worship. We need to come back to the heart of worship. Because it really is all about Him. God just laid a story on my heart. I hadn't thought about this all week. This is a good one. Some of you are going to freak out over this one. One time David, King David, the man after God's own heart, was dancing so wildly and so openly, his wife came to him and said, how vile can you get? And he said, woman, you ain't seen anything yet. I will be vile if I have to be before my Father to worship and to praise Him. That's open worship, isn't it? He didn't care about anybody else. He was totally focused on God. That's what I'm talking about. When it burns in your spirit, when it burns in your heart, when you have meditated upon God so much that you can't hold it in, that's when worship becomes real, and that's when it becomes dynamic, and that's when it becomes exciting. That's when you're going to get something because you're giving something. I promise you, David was blessed that day. His wife wasn't, because you could tell very openly or very easily, very clearly, that she wasn't participating because she was getting on to him for doing so, but he didn't care. Folks, God is looking for true worshipers. Jesus himself made that statement. Well, if there's true worshipers, then there has to be false or fake worshipers. That's the ones that are just going through the motions. All right, it's very important that we understand what worship is. Now, when you think of worship, what do you think of? Do you think of soft songs and somebody standing there with their hands raised in worship? That can be a part of it. That can be a manifestation of worship. But folks, within itself, that is not worship. The song that we sang, when the music fades and all is stripped away, then what's left? When we take away the things that we think are worship, when we take away the scene and the music, what is left? Is there anything of value left? Is there any true worship? The word worship means to be prostrate or to bow ourselves before God, to actually, in our hearts, to lay ourselves down prostrate on the ground before God. And if you've seen how they used to worship in the old days, they would literally lay down on the ground in a prostrate position. That's a position of total surrender. Absolute, total surrender. That's where we need to be in our hearts. Our hearts need to be completely, totally focused on God. We are completely, totally surrendered to Him. We don't care what our neighbor thinks. If we feel like raising our hands, we're going to raise our hands. If we feel like giving God verbal praise, we're going to give Him verbal praise. If we feel like giving Him a testimony, we're going to give Him a testimony. That's the act of worship. See, one thing we need to understand, worship starts on the inside. Worship starts on the inside. It is an act of complete submission of our being before God. It has to happen on the inside before it can be manifested on the outside. And that's where a lot of us struggle. That's where a lot of Christians struggle in their worship. They don't realize it's something that springs from the inside. They try to force it from the outside. You can't force worship. Worship naturally flows. When you meditate upon God, and you meditate upon God's goodness, you're going to worship. And you may be going through the motions on the outside, but if you are not in complete submission to God, then you're not worshiping. Now, you can stand there with your hands held all day, and folks, that is definitely a form of worship. But you can stand there with your hands held all day, and it can literally mean nothing more than you need to go to the restroom. Remember grade school days? How'd you get permission to go to the restroom? You raised your hand. So a raised hand can mean a lot of different things. But if we really have our hearts focused on Jesus, then it's going to be worship. It really is all about Him. I hope we can get to the point that we understand that worship becomes dynamic and it becomes meaningful when you get so wrapped up in God and you get so wrapped up in God's goodness that you can't keep the praise inside of you. Now, one thing that we need to understand about worship, you need to be getting your hearts ready to worship all week long. You can't just walk through the church back there and say, okay, song leader, get me into an attitude of worship. You need to be in an attitude and a spirit of worship and praise all week long. And there's a lot of ways you do that. We're not going to go into those right now because you know most of them. Reading the Bible, praying, meditating upon God's Word, meditating upon God and His goodness. And that is one way that the songs definitely do help. When we get to the point that we have meditated upon God's goodness to the point that we can't keep it in, then it's going to come out. And the songs help us to meditate upon His goodness. You know, we sang a song last Sunday. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Lord of all. The songs help us to meditate upon His goodness. They help us to focus on Him and to focus our attention upon Him. And they are a way of helping us to release the worship that is within us. And like I said earlier, when we have meditated upon God and His goodness for so long, folks, it's going to come out. It doesn't matter who's sitting next to you. You may even shock somebody the first time you actually release worship from your mouth or in some physical sign. You might scare them to death, but that's okay. Let me give you a great illustration of worship. When Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, just before His crucifixion, think back about what the people did. They were singing and shouting, and they were bowing down before Him. They were laying their clothes, and they were laying palm leaves in front of the Savior. They were crying out, Hosanna! They were focused on Jesus. Nobody was concerned about what anybody else thought. They were focused on Him. And all of these were manifestations of the worship that they had in their hearts. It really comes down to this. We need to focus on Jesus until worship naturally flows out. Because, folks, it is all about Him. When we sing the hymns, we need to be focusing upon Jesus. When we sing the praise songs, we need to be focusing upon Jesus. When we're in our Sunday school class, we need to be focusing upon Jesus. And when we focus upon Him long enough, it's going to naturally be manifested. Our worship has to be all about Him. It has to be all about Him. It ought to be to the point that if we came in here one Sunday and we had no piano, no organ, no song leader, no worship leader, no nothing, that worship would still take place. You see, Jesus is the heart of our worship. And anything that we do that brings Him glory or that brings Him honor is an act of worship. Whether it's reading a scripture verse, whether it's a personal testimony, whether it is a song, whether it's just you stand up and give Him praise. I used to go to church with a guy in Fort Smith, would just stand up and verbally praise the Lord, just talk about His goodness and His grace and His mercy and give God praise for all of the things that He's done. All of those things, uplifted hands, all of those are manifestations of worship. And all of those things should happen whether we have the piano and the organ or the organized worship service or not. Because we are so focused on Him. Now, folks, the compelling question this morning is, are we really worshiping Him? And yes, that is a very important question. The Bible, like I said earlier, says that God will be worshipped. I'm going to participate in that. I'm inviting you to participate in that because God will be worshipped, and we should have a heart that wants to worship Him, but we have to make sure that we come back to the heart of worship because it is all about Him. When we come through those doors back there, nobody else might be able to see it, but we ought to have a basket full of worship and saying, Father, if I can just get to your altar, I'm going to lay it down. We ought to come in here with a heart full of worship. We ought to bring our sacrifice. See, the Bible calls it a sacrifice of praise. And going back to what we talked about at the very beginning, if you give a sacrifice, you don't get anything. You are giving a sacrifice. And it is something that will cost you. Worship will cost you. You have to give a sacrifice of praise. You have to give of yourself. You have to bare your heart and your soul and just lay it out there again. Prostrate before the Lord. I'm worshiping you. I give you the praise and I give you the glory and I give you the honor. Thank you for saving me. Father, when we bring that gift, that sacrifice of praise, that worship in, that's a time when we go before God in the Holy of Holies. And literally, it doesn't matter if there's 10,000 people. It's just you and God. It's just you and God. I've worshipped God before by myself. Many, many, many times. Many, many times. I've worshipped God with 10 to 12,000 other people around me. But even, whether I'm by myself, whether I'm with a Centerpoint family, or whether I'm with 10 to 12,000 other people, it's still about me worshiping God. Me laying myself out before the Lord. Me bringing a sacrifice of praise. A gift of worship to the Father. We're going to re-sing that song, The Heart of Worship, this morning as our invitation song. When we re-sing it, I want you to focus on Him. If you think, if this thought comes to your mind, what is my neighbor thinking? You need to repent immediately. Satan is trying to get you to take your eyes off of Jesus and focus on your neighbor. He's using that tool against you. Don't let him do that. If that thought even comes to your mind, that's not a good thought. That is a clue. It's very obvious that Satan is trying to take your eyes off of what they ought to be focused on. They ought to be focused on Jesus Christ and Him only, and not what your neighbor thinks. I'm going to ask the praise team if they would to come back up, and Diana, I'm going to ask the congregation to stand with us. We're going to pray, and then we're going to re-sing that song. And we want you to join us as we sing it. Father, we come before you. And I thank you that you have given us the opportunity to worship you. Father, worship is one of the things we're going to do all throughout eternity. And it's a way of showing our gratitude to you by bringing a sacrifice of praise, by bringing an act of worshiping, laying it on your altar. Father, when we do that, we're literally laying our entire being before you. And we're saying, Father, I'm at your mercy. I am in complete submission to you. And we're giving you worship. And we're giving you praise. Father, I pray that not only this morning, but every single day hereafter, that you would help us to have a very worshipful attitude and realize the importance of worship and to realize that you will be worshipped even if the stones and the rocks have to cry out in worship to you. God, help us not to let inanimate objects do our job and to take our privilege of worship, but help us to understand it truly is a privilege and an opportunity to bring our gift and our sacrifice of worship to you and to lay it on the altar. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.